local teacher and ultra runner, Harvey Lewis, wanted to break the record on the Appalachian Trail. He brought along his father and a documentary film crew. Now the movie, Like Harvey, Like Son, is playing the festival circuit. It recently won Best Feature at the Woodbury Film Festival. Earlier, I spoke with Harvey Lewis and filmmaker Rudy Harris. Harvey, we're going to talk about this documentary, Like Harvey, Like Son, which chronicles your quest to complete the Appalachian Trail in record time. But first, what is an ultra runner?
Ultra runner is we have actually a lot of them in America now. They're growing by leaps and bounds over the last 10 years. But it's a person that runs more than a marathon, 26.2 miles. So it could be short as a 50K race, or some of these races go as far as the Appalachian Trail. Yeah.
So one race that would start at the one part of the Appalachian Trail.
Well, actually, the Appalachian Trail is the fastest known time, but there are races that exist in the world where there are people racing. For example, in New York, they have a race that goes 3,000 miles.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it's like around a city block over the summertime. And they like challenge their mind over their mind and their spirit to push beyond what seems humanly possible.
So at what point in your life did you think, 26.2 miles, that's just not enough for me. I've got to take it farther than this.
Well, you know, I love the marathon, honestly. So that's a great event. But I started getting into ultras about 20 years ago. And there was a 24-hour race when I was in college at the University of Minnesota, where we raised money to help kids to go to college. And so it was a really neat experience to participate in, and that just kind of gave me the fire for it.
And so with all that experience in running and with all that endurance, certainly you turned your attention to the Appalachian Trail. Why?
The Appalachian Trail is one of the most iconic places in the world, and as a trail, it's the most historic in America. So the idea of challenging that trail with all of the pristine nature, the lore behind the history of it, was totally captivating.
So your father, his name is Harvey Lewis Jr. You're Harvey Lewis III. He was part of this story, and Rudy, you were part of this film process. Share with us how that interaction worked out, because you took your dad on this. Is he an ultra runner as well?
No. my father, he is a bold man for being 79 years young. But
yeah, throughout the film, he's referenced like, you want your 78-year-old father tagging along here. He's no spring chicken.
He was fantastic. He had the mindset of the best mindset I could ever ask for. So he was a vital life link all along the journey. He would meet me several times a day whenever there was an opportunity for an intercept between the road and the trail, which is not easy. Sometimes it would take me 3 hours to get to the next intercept, and it might take my father almost the same amount of time because he had to drive all the way around these remote mountains, finding the gravel road, and maybe hoping to find me at the next spot. Yeah, so it had its logistics challenges that you can imagine. And my father was just such a good, spirited person. He never relented from the challenge. He would wake up oftentimes before me, 5 a.m., and he would keep strong all the way until midnight a lot of times.
Rudy, you produced and you directed this feature-length documentary film in collaboration with Road ID, who we'll talk about coming up. Tell me about your experience on this. How'd you get involved, and what was the – because you had to go on the trail as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, so we got involved with Road ID and Harvey when we were in the Red River Gorge doing a small 3-minute video for Road ID for branding purposes. And Harvey had told us, hey, I got this thing I'm going to do this summer that you should come out. We said, well, what is it? And he's like, I can't tell you. And we were like, well, you got to tell us or we're not going to come out. And eventually he spilled the beans. And so we decided pretty quickly that this shouldn't just be a small 3-minute piece, but it should be a documentary. So months of planning, both with Harvey and Road ID, Mike Trimpe over at Road ID, as well as Edward Wimmer, we all came together and figured out how this relationship would work and how we need to do it. And then we thought we were prepared and we were wrong. All of us, I think, day one was pretty nuts. And so we just battled the logistics along with Junior, his dad, and Harvey himself. So like he said, there's a lot of logistical nightmares and a lot of waiting. There'd be a lot of really hurried filming and then 3 hours of waiting, and then hurried filming and 3 hours of waiting. So it was quite, it was the hardest filmmaking that we've ever had to do so far.
And you've been at this a while.
Yes, quite many years, probably about 15, 16 years now. And this was logistically the most challenging. I mean, there was food poisoning on the trail. There were leeches on ankles. There was mosquito bites, all sorts of stuff. It was insane, but it was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, man, that's hard to hear for a city boy like me who doesn't like to leave the downtown core. But Road ID is a Covington-based company that works in, I guess, safety for cyclists and runners, people who are near roads and may find themselves in an unfortunate situation where they have to be identified. They were a big part of this. Can you talk about who they are and a little bit more about what their role was in this? And then we'll talk to about their role in your training and such.
Right, yeah. Road ID. So what Road ID is they call it, it's very simple technology. It's basically an identification band that you wear around your wrist. There's a delusion in the world that if you somehow get in an accident, that they'll look at your driver's license and they can talk to all your family, when in reality that system doesn't really, it's not really in place. I even have personal experience with family where a family member was in the hospital for hours on end by themselves because they were knocked unconscious, no one knew that they were there. So what Road ID simply is just that. It's a very simple technology. It has your emergency contact information. It's weird by a lot of cyclists, runners, athletes, but now a lot of people are realizing that it's good for just even kids, moms with kids, and just dogs. They have pet IDs and all that, all those things. It's a very simple technology, but it's just sort of beautifully simple. Like, it's just amazing. It's just a small, and there's also a father-son connection there. The Wimmers, Edward the Fourth and the Third, they started it. There's Harvey Jr., Harvey the Third. There's so many. I'm a junior. One of the drone operator was a junior. So this whole thing has been a whole father-son journey from the very beginning.
So Harvey, talk to me about Road ID from your perspective. You're a guy who's out on the road and running along. I mean, what do you think of this product, and how has that been important to people like you?
Yeah, well, they really, I think, targeted athletes, and they that's their history of their company. But really, it has a lot of value to anybody. In fact, I have one for my mother, and she's like a stroke victim. So with her being in her later 70s, and she does a lot of stuff on her own, and sometimes she can get a little foggy. It's nice to have that as another level of reassurance. And so, yeah, for me also, I do crazy things all over the world. I love this year. I'm going for running in 100 countries. So I'm at 94 right now. Wow. So I do all these adventures all over developing countries and inhospitable territories. So it's just another level of security in a sense of to my family to know, like, oh, well, you know, if I get knocked unconscious and or something happens, then they can figure out, you know, in the hospital or wherever, who I am, where I am, and et cetera.
And so Road ID is the company that produced this film along with Harris Media Company, and you directed it. And the way I read some of the pitches about this was that you, Harvey Lewis III, wanted to complete the Appalachian Trail in under 50 days or in record time, possibly, if you could pull that off. You ended up finishing the trail from Georgia to Maine in what I read was 49 days.
I had a jet suit.
Yeah. 49 days and 14 hours. So you were measuring right down to the minute. So you went from Georgia to Maine, finishing by coming down what they call Mount Katahdin, with a lot of folks following your journey on social media with the hashtag Where's Harvey. And how did you feel about that time when you finished? I mean, were you pleased with your time?
Yeah, ultimately, I really was. I was just thankful to be finished. You know, that journey pushed me in ways I never imagined, and it was so arduous. Like, the challenges of getting injured en route and having to overcome injuries and heal your body. Originally, the record then was string bean was 45 days, 44 days. So I ended up with the eighth fastest time at that point. And it, since that time, it has been surpassed again. Another gentleman from Belgium did it in under about 41 days. But to be honest, to finish in the top 10 of all the people have tried is a major accomplishment for me, especially coming from Cincinnati. I'm not in a mountainous zone. I typically run back and forth to work, you know, on roads. So I don't train every single day in the mountains. So to adapt to the mountain environment at another layer of challenge to me, and the memories that I took away with my dad and people that came out, including Rudy and his team, were just absolutely priceless. I mean, so many incredible experiences from seeing, I probably saw about 20 bears along the whole journey. I saw 5 rattlesnakes. I saw waterfalls. I mean, just storms that were raging like nothing ever before. Starting the adventure in this rustic lodge with this gentleman that owned it that loved cats and had like a he had scores of cats everywhere. He was the funniest guy ever. I love the guy. But just the people also I met along the route that were in every bit in their having an amazing story themselves, from folks ranging in their 70s all the way down to teenagers. And in fact, in Cincinnati, we had another family that went with 8 kids. I mean, eight total. There were 6 kids, but 8 total family members. They completed the whole journey. Wow. So all those stories were just incredibly enriching to me.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. I'm talking to ultra runner Harvey Lewis III and filmmaker Rudy Harris about the documentary Like Harvey, Like Son, which chronicled the journey of Lewis and his father as they navigated the Appalachian Trail. I want to talk a little bit more about that terrain from both perspectives, because Rudy, while you weren't there to set any record time, you were there with a crew. You were there with equipment. Mm-hmm. And this is based on the quality of the viewing of the film, it was expensive equipment. So talk about that experience in navigating the terrain of the Appalachian Trail while trying to shoot a film.
Yeah, it was, not to take away anything that Harvey did, obviously, but it was definitely from a filmmaking standpoint, very challenging. We tallied it up to be 10 different video sources, different cameras, even one shot, 2 shots in the documentary are iPhones, just because that's all that was there. Just some of it was so logistically incredible and just hard to overcome. The first day started with the hardest rain that I've ever seen, and then later in the trail was a harder rain than I've ever seen, but it was a tropical storm. Shout out to one of our camera operators, Brandon, who is the only soul that was at the top of the beginning at the top of Springer Mountain, Georgia. He ran up the trail in pitch darkness with Harvey, and he ran up and did that, and then he was also at the top of Katahdin. And he was the only person that could do it. And he made a comment when he came back down that his camera was obviously the largest camera that's ever been on top of that mountain, because it was just strenuous and awful and all this heavy equipment and lots of waiting around and battery life. It was crazy. But it was definitely, it was logistically very difficult just with all the gear that we had to manage and wrangle throughout the whole time, and running with that gear alongside him for, 100. We are obviously not in good shape, so 100 yards here, 100 yards there, but it was still quite the challenge.
That's something I wanted to ask you, because you're not an ultra runner, no. Rudy, but you're making this film about someone who is, and you're trying to capture some story underneath all of that, mm-hmm. while also trying to keep up with the guy who's trying to set a record while completing this very challenging terrain. I mean, did you have to do any training at all for that? Did you practice for this?
Man, we should have. We really should have trained. We should have done some boot camp as a crew together, for sure.
I think you did. I think you did. By the end of the journey, you guys were a little more fit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah. Maybe 1% more fit. But what we had done is we learned every single day what not to do, because we messed up more than we did things right. So every single day we learned, all right, we can't do that. And we started using walkie-talkies later in the trail, which we should have done earlier, because what we would have to do is have someone scout out a quarter mile into the trail and just scream, "He's got pegged." And then we would run with him. We'd have 5 or 6 camera, different operators with cameras along the trail to capture everything. And we joked in the beginning that we're making a really good food documentary, because the only times that we really saw him a lot was when he was eating. We're like, all right, we got to get some running footage for this running documentary. So it was definitely a little bit of a challenge, but we made it work.
And I carried GoPros, mm-hmm. along with some of our crew members, people that would come out and like run with me a few times. They would carry that, which was nice. One of the things I think that a lot of people don't have a sense of is that most people have heard of the Appalachian Trail, but most people probably imagine a trail in the woods near their mm-hmm. home, and they don't realize that it's incredibly steep up and down, and it's not. It's also has incredible obstacles, all kinds of like rocky areas. Like they call it a stretch through Pennsylvania, Rocksylvania. And roughly every 3 to 4 days, I was climbing the height of Mount Everest and descending the height of Mount Everest. So by the end of the journey, I climbed the equivalent of Mount Everest 16 times over 50 days.
Why do this to yourself?
it's kind of like there's so many reasons why. I can't even tell you just like the list, but you feel like this this closeness with nature. You also, your heightened senses, because you're stimulating your body in such a compelling way. I mean, I could remember people's names so much easier on the Appalachian Trail than I can back here when I'm teaching at SCPA. And it's like there's a sense of like you must, like, for survival, you better remember everyone's name. But it's just when you get to a level of like almost meditation in some places. And it also gives you a greater, I felt like I had experienced a greater appreciation for simple things in life, and also for my family and friends, the relationships, the people I was missing while I was out there, as well as people that were with me out there. And it's something that I'm still like reflecting on today.
So there are people who might check out parts of the Appalachian Trail. Maybe they'll take a nice solid hike, or maybe they'll stay in a nice cabin nearby go out to take it all in. You got to take a lot of this in, but both of you were doing strenuous activities in different ways. You know, with you with you, Harvey, running, and you, Rudy, producing a film. How were you able to enjoy the sights and the sounds, even the sighting of 20 bears out there in the woods while doing these activities?
Well, you know, honestly, the day had so many different emotions. So I would typically wake up, always trying to wake up before the sunrise. So I'd wake up maybe 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I would try to get out the van as fast as humanly possible, 15 minutes. I'd go through the day. I wouldn't finish until 10 o'clock at night. There were a few times I finished before sunset, which were really nice. But every day I would experience moments where it was absolutely just wow, like a wow moment, like jumping into a creek to cool off when it's so hot outside. That's just such an amazing feeling. Or sharing a vista with my father as we ate, like, soup at the end of the day. Like, I mean, those experiences, there were times where I was like, what in the world am I thinking? I am in so much agony here. This is crazy. It's just never going to end. This, whoever was masochistic enough to design this trail, they made it go up every single steep possible mountain you could dream of in the most challenging possible ways. So those moments existed, moments where I doubted like if it was even possible to finish because I injured myself about a third of the way through. And then there were moments where I felt anything was possible, coming up over mountains where you could see as far as the eye could see. And I would encourage anyone listening to really consider getting out there. If it's only for a day or two, there's some such incredible spots from like the Smoky Mountains on up to like Maine. There are so many majestic areas, and I love geography, and the geography blew me away. I thought I knew this country, and it blew me away in terms of how much beauty and how much diversity. These orange salamanders, they look like they belong in the Amazon rainforest. They're like, you'll find them in certain spots. They're kind of rare, but they're just incredible. When it rains, and you'll find them out there, so bright orange. Yeah, that's things like that.
What about you, Rudy? Did you get a chance at least to enjoy the Appalachian Trail? Do you feel like you had an experience out there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We definitely, as a crew, we all, I mean, there were just sights and just experiences that we shared together and just sunsets that were just shocking. Like, just the areas that we were in, I mean, some were not so nice, and some were just, I mean, in Maine, although Maine logistically was a terrible state in logistics for the trail purposes, was just shockingly beautiful, and we got to share it. I actually got to share some of it with my wife as well, which was awesome. But we uh, We all learned a few things while we were there, both from Harvey and from Junior, his dad. So Junior literally is the hero out of this. I think Harvey would
agree.
He's the hero.
he's the anchor.
He's awesome. We love Junior very much. But something that we learned from Harvey, and to go back on a previous question, why you do this, he had said this in an interview, and I've taken this to heart, is that pushing himself to those limits is where his greatest growth comes from. And so that we all sort of were like, man, this is awesome. So we all learned together. We learned from Harvey, from Junior, from each other, from the terrain. It was an awesome experience for sure.
Pushing yourself, Harvey. I mean, let's talk about people who may want to start pushing themselves. You ran in the first Flying Pig marathon here locally when it started 20 years ago, back in 99.
Yeah.
Talk about what it's like for somebody who has never run a marathon, but that's on a lot of people's bucket list. I want to get out there and I just want to complete it. I'm trying to complete the Appalachian Trail in 50 days or anything, but I'd like to run the Flying Pig without stopping. Where does somebody start?
Yeah, you know, the one of the best ways to get started with the Flying Pig is to join one of the local running groups. There are more than, I guess there's about almost half a dozen different groups from Tri-State to Fleet Feet, where you can join the group. And it's nice to have a group dynamic, to have someone helping to motivate you to get out there when it's cold. And so I would definitely encourage that. And also, just start, if you haven't been out there, start with an event to lead up to that. So maybe it's a 5K, maybe a 10K, half marathon. The Flying Pig has all those events, and it's one of the best races in the whole world. And it's right here in our backyard. So it's a great spot to start. And you will not be disappointed. There's a lot of people. I met this woman who was in her 70s, and she didn't start running marathons until she got to 60. And she's run over 100 marathons now. Wow. Yeah.
Very cool. So you hear that advice, Rudy. Are you ready to get out there and start training for your own?
I don't know. Maybe. My wife was inspired. My wife was inspired. She did a 5K her first, but she was like, man, this was awesome. She was really inspired. We even had, he's a vegan, and one of our crew members was inspired. So they went vegan for a few months, and now they're mostly vegan. Wow. So yeah, we're inspired a little bit. Like we are, but I don't know. There's something about a warm couch.
Rudy, what's the latest for the film? Where is it showing? Where can people see it? What's going on with it?
Yeah, so as of right now, we're doing the film festival route. And with film festivals, there's a lot of limited showing that you're allowed to do currently, just because the film festivals want it to be a kind of a premiere at there. So we submitted it to around 26 to 30 film festivals. I don't have the number offhand right now. But once we get through the film festival circuit, hopefully we get into some of them. Shout out to this Independent Film Festival and the Over the Rhine Film Festival, which we did submit to. So it's two local ones. So if it does get into that, you'll be able to see it here locally. We have had a couple screenings. Both of them went really well. They both sold out pretty quickly. They were super fun. It was great. But after it runs through the film festivals, we will then take it to some sort of digital platform, either Amazon Prime or Netflix, hopefully. But we are all, Road ID included, Harvey included, myself, we're all kind of rookies at the filmmaking. I've done commercial and corporate work, but not really ever done filmmaking. So this was a first time for all of us. So, but ultimately, no matter what, it'll be on some sort of digital platform, Amazon Prime, Netflix, or probably self-published by Road ID.
The feature documentary is called Like Harvey, Like Son. It's directed by Rudy Harris and stars Harvey Lewis III in his quest to complete the Appalachian Trail in under 50 days alongside his father, Harvey Lewis Jr. And Harvey Lewis III and Rudy Harris have been my guests today. Thanks to you both for coming in and chatting about it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our show are online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.